Okay, we want to start this session, but they've asked us to check everyone's passes. So can you hold your passes up, please? Aya, could you leave, please? Aya, you don't have your pass. Leave. Okay. Money will do too, Pastor Kenny. Pastor Kenny pulls up money and says, "Here, I'll give you." Okay. So this is about. Does anyone know the title? Being a World Christian. So we have our... We could speak about a worldly Christian. Okay, let's start off by speaking about a worldly Christian. And turn to... I would love to be down with you, but just so I can turn my Bible quick and I don't... A world Christian. Romans chapter 10. Lord, bless this time. Let us rejoice in you and give us wisdom in Christ's name about your mind. Amen. Okay. A worldly Christian. Romans chapter 10. This is a worldly Christian and verse 2. Okay. For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they wouldn't let their knowledge be influenced. They wouldn't let what they knew be reconstructed. They would not allow their thought processes to create a new inner man. Okay, it says, for they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And here's worldliness. Here's worldliness. Going about to establish their own righteousness. Going about to establish their own righteousness. One of my greatest ways to get rid of problems is to actually work. Okay, to work. I love to do something else where I feel productive. And I can escape at any time and I can just start to work. And if I don't have any work to do work, then I find some work to do and I can establish my own righteousness. I can distract myself. Okay? And do you understand what I'm saying? We establish our own righteousness. And Pastor Kenny says, no, I don't get it yet. Okay, and you shouldn't get it yet. Okay? By saying that's worldliness is when I try to establish my life outside of God's righteousness. Romans chapter 4 speaks about a blessed man to whom the Lord it imputes righteousness. Like, this is a world Christian. Okay, and that sounds fundamental. But I want to just look at Genesis chapter 1. Okay, and if I was to ask you, how many people believe in the fall? How many people, well, let's put it this way. How many people believe in the fall of man? Wait. How many people, is there anyone here that doesn't believe in the fall of man? Be honest. Man lost something when he fell. And man has an opportunity to live in the world in his fallen nature And he can do something to establish his own righteousness. No matter what it is, good or bad, he can go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and discover a righteousness. Okay? I would call that, that's worldliness. Because at that point, he actually is living in his fallen state. He can call himself good or bad. He can judge himself. He becomes his own God. And he is now the ruler. He's in control. But there was the fall in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth." God has created us to have dominion. And this order of dominion was lost in the fall. Where this dominion, where man ruled, he governed, he organized, he subjugated the animals. He had the ability to reign in life. He was able to live on this earth according to his design. But the fall destroyed that privilege. And so, but man was on the earth, and so man can live on the earth and not have dominion, but create his own dominion. Okay? And so maybe you start to get like his own righteousness. And I'm going to end up with Psalm 138, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Okay. Matthew chapter 5. I like to take like a 5 minute nap means so much to me. A 5 minute nap means so much. And I feel like my life is going off. And sometimes every day it could feel like, you know, I just feel like it has to be regrouped. I have to shut down. To shut everything down so I can regroup again. And sometimes naps help me with that. And I just want to say what a world Christian is. A world Christian is a person that realizes they are in utter need of God. They are absolutely bankrupt. And they don't go about to establish their own righteousness. And they have a huge burden in their heart for help from God. And a world Christian, one that's going to reign on this earth, is a person that cries in his heart and says, "I have a need." But he still lives on this earth. And Matthew chapter 5. Okay. It says, "Blessed are the meek." I'm just going to get my book. Created my own definition here. The meekness. Being stripped of my own identity and dignity and my own purposes, and realizing that the only way out is to listen to God. God has created us with an incredible, in the wisdom of God, He's created us with an incredible need for Him to have dominion on this earth. And through meekness, and it's not a form of godliness. It's not any form of spiritual form. Meekness doesn't have a have a pattern that goes from person to person. It's a bankruptcy of our own ways. And there's a sense of that in our life. And this is where God has put us. And the only way out is to say, help. And the way out is to actually listen. You know, you're going to listen to the voice of God. So we don't bring these funny sacrifices to God and say, accept them. And you know what's a funny sacrifice? That I know how to go to a convention. It's a funny sacrifice that I know how to exist, you know, amongst all of you in a way that I've learned from the past, you know, almost, well, 30 years. That is a funny sacrifice. And God doesn't like it. We literally are bankrupt in our ways of establishing a righteousness. There's no security outside of listening to God. And the final thing that I'll say, it's a Psalm 138. I'm Psalm 138, if you can turn there. This speaks about activity. Verse 1. This is the production of meekness. And it has the ability to mock the ways of the world or the idols that are in the world. I was thinking of, you know, insurance companies, huge industry. Like it's a security where people are afraid. Security, I have liability. What's another? The judicial system or lawyers, huge industry. People want justice. You know, we have all these systems in the world. And it's great to be bankrupt with these systems. And to realize that these systems do not produce any righteousness at all in our lives. And that's what this psalmist is actually saying. He says, I will praise thee with a whole heart. I'm not trusting in my own righteousness. I'm not trusting in my own righteousnesses. I'm not trusting in my learned behavior that I display to the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in that. We don't have these idols that we have learned that we think produce something that actually are nothing. And he says this, I will praise thee with my whole heart. This would be, I love this. It says, before the gods. Like, just like to praise God with a whole heart and like to mock the gods that man can trust in. Just to mock the gods that we used to trust in. To mock the gods that are entertaining our mind to trust in. To mock the gods that have tempted us all of our life to trust in. And to praise God. And it's like this dominion comes back into our life because we're not trusting in our own righteousness. We've received an imputed righteousness from God. And we just sit there. We tell the world there's a completely another way to reign in this earth. What does it say? What does it say in Matthew chapter 5? It says verse 5. There it is. There's this meekness, completely stripped of identity and dignity and purpose. And our only way out is to listen to God. The meek will He teach, and He says this, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Like there's a world Christian. It's this meek person that actually has dominion. Okay. Amen.
How many of you were here this morning? You heard Pastor Schallers. You saw his diagram up on the board. So, worldly. Obviously, we don't want to. I was thinking this. Remember, you had the. I don't know if I'm allowed to walk up here or not, but you know. I'm already up here, so. But you had the what was number one? What way was number one? Paganism. That's a way, right? What was the number two way? Moral law. Okay. And number three, okay, the gifts, he said, like typical Christianity, the gifts and but number four was the more excellent way, which is what? Love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This is what makes us world Christians. Love. It's amazing. Have you ever had difficulty forgiving? And, of course, probably the answer is yes. But do you have difficulty forgiving when you love? And I think the answer is no. I find it very easy to forgive the one that I love. The more that I love that person and I sense that love connection between us, I'm ready to forgive. Because love covers a multitude of sins. You see what I mean? Like a world Christian, God so loved the world. This morning to the pastors, Pastor Schaller, was reading a little bit from, I think it was this morning to the pastor, from the book of Jonah. And he was talking with us a little bit about, you know, Jonah. He didn't care about, what happened to those people. He didn't care about the people of Nineveh. He didn't love them. He didn't love those people. He didn't care about those people. This is what I was thinking. Someone said, well, like, if God would have just told him to go to the next town over, well, maybe he would have gone. Okay, maybe he would have gone, but don't you think God was, you know, you think that it was like just like a random thing on God's part to say Nineveh? And to that particular man, Jonah, who he knows he doesn't love them. But isn't it possible? Isn't it possible? Okay, he's not a pagan, right? And he has maybe more than just morality, but like God. But isn't it possible that we have the gifts, we are being led by the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. But isn't it possible for us in this, even with being saved and justified, the same way Abraham was justified, and the same way Jonah was justified too, by the way, the same way. So here's Jonah, justified Jonah, justified by grace through faith. It's the only way anyone ever got justified. So here he is, but he doesn't love So he doesn't love the people of Nineveh, but does he really love the people of the next city over? Like, but maybe I could think, no, I don't love them, but I do love them. But maybe I actually am operating not in love, but I'm actually operating in my own carnality. And God was wanting to show Jonah, like, I need world Christians that actually say, like, God loved the world. Like, instead of I read a quote from an American cartoonist. You don't know him. His name was Hubbard. Anybody know Frank McKinney Hubbard? Died in 1930. But he was a cartoonist, and he wrote this thing. It's some cartoon strip. I don't remember it very well. Before our time, before my time anyway, but he wrote this thing, and he said, the world gets better every day. And then he said, and then at night it gets worse. At night it gets worse again. And then it gets better every day, and then at night it gets worse again. And he was right. The world is like, but God loves the world. And God, you know, the thing with the book of Jonah is God is interested in those people of Nineveh. But this was one of the things, it was a very enigmatic book for me, the book of Jonah. I always wanted to edit it. I did. I really did. I wanted to cut out chapter 4 of Jonah. I thought chapter 3, God, you've got a perfect, you know, and they all lived happily ever after ending here, and they all got saved, and they boom, boom, happily ever after, and, you know, why do you have chapter 4 in there with Jonah getting angry and going up the hill? You know, it's just, I remember I would read it as a teenager and go, take that page out of the Bible. But what was happening there is, like, so here's a man, and he's, this is what I want to say, because you and I could very easily, maybe we don't, maybe so, well, I would never be a worldly Christian. Well, I mean, I think like Pastor Gary said, it's actually quite easy for us to slide and think in a very natural way and do the right things and think about good and bad, right and wrong, and they're doing the right, that was the right answer, that was the wrong answer, that was a good thing, that was a bad thing, instead of really looking at the heart and saying, wow, like, lost and found, lost and saved, blind and can see, saved, born again. Jonah said, it says actually the first time when Jonah went, he left the city, he's angry, goes up the hill, and it says God asked him a question. God said, let's read it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Displeased Jonah exceedingly, he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, it's not much of a prayer, really. Oh, Lord, it's a complaint. It's a complaint prayer. Of course, you and I never do that, right? Of course not. Oh, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, God loves the world, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? And I think that like Jonah, he didn't really even have a good answer for that question. Because he doesn't give an answer. Is God, here goes Jonah marching up the hill, and God says, "Do you do well to be angry?" And Jonah's like, I'm not even answering. I don't have an answer. Maybe I know I'm not really doing well. You ever been not doing well, but you don't want to turn around and do well? Isn't that what God said to Cain? Do well. Just humble yourself. If not, sin is at the door. It's waiting. You can go that way, but do well. But Jonah is not doing well, so God, you know the story, right? God prepares a plant. The plant grows up over Jonah. And it gives Jonah shade, and Jonah is so excited about this plant, and the plant is there, and Jonah is like so happy, and he feels like the plant is his provision. And of course, then God, as Pastor Schaller said this morning, God had prepared a little worm in the dirt right beside the plant, and the worm eats the plant. And not only now is the plant gone, so the shade is gone, but then God sends a hot wind. And the wind comes and Jonah is miserable, sunburned, and more angry. And Jonah explains why he's so angry, and God says, wait. And this is the thing I want to say. This is so important. Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, yes, I do well. This time he answers him. Yes, I do well to be angry for the plant. Angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant. You know, I mean, I really hope that we could see this, because this is what it takes. I think that after this, that Jonah became a world Christian. It seems as though Jonah is the probable author of the book. There's nobody else there. It doesn't have to be, but it seems as though Jonah is the author of the book. So, it doesn't say what happens at the end. It says God, but listen, this is just God's question, and God says to Jonah, listen, you pity the plant for which you did not labor and you didn't make it grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh? Because I love people. Because I love the world. And because I love the world, shouldn't I pity them, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons? Shouldn't I? And he asks this question to Jonah. He says, like, he does the thing with the plant because he was not only interested in the 120,000 people of Nineveh, right? That's what I thought. Like, well, okay, God, you got your 120,000. What do you care about one idiot like me or Jonah? But God said, no, I care about you and Jonah. He's chosen us to be world Christians, to be, and all it really means is to love them. Like, it's all it really, if you love people, you are a world Christian. What will you do? I don't know. But if you love people, you will make a difference. That's really what it comes down to. It's not really complicated. But they are unlovely. Yes, they are unlovely. The people of, but this is not based on how lovely they are. God is saying, like Jonah, maybe the plant, well, The plant was, it came into being. You didn't even do anything, but you had, you really cared about this plant. You cared about it. Shouldn't I care? And I think Jonah, when God asks him that question, I mean, that, then it's just, that's the end of the book. And I think Jonah puts down his pen and ink and just sits down and says, like, wow. Yes, God, you should. And you do. And maybe, like this, what happened with Jonah after that? I don't know. I don't know. But it's not really the point today in 2018 what happened with Jonah after that. The point is, us. Today. In 2018 and until he comes. That we would be world Christians, which just means like we love. We don't love the world system, but we love the people in the world. I read an author, I don't remember his name, it was a French name, it was very hard to, I knew I could never pronounce it, so I didn't even bother trying to remember the name, but he said, like many, he said, many Christians are on the world instead of being in it. I don't know if you, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just taking up space on the planet until the end. But, you know, he didn't leave us here to just take up space on the world. But actually, we are not of it, but we are in it. That's a world Christian. In the world, to love the world, with the love of God. And that's why it's so important, as we said this morning, to be in a church, in a ministry, that you learn love. You learn to receive love, and you learn to love, and it's a beautiful place. So we were thinking that maybe there might be maybe someone would just like to make a comment on this subject. Pastor Schaller's been talking about this. We have another 12 minutes for this workshop, and Pastor Schaller's been talking on this theme recently, and I've heard him say it a number of different times in the last few months. World, not worldly, not of the world, but in the world, not just on the planet, but in the world, and because God loves people. So if anyone has, you can just be right here with the microphone if someone has a comment.
Just like to say that ever since the big split here down in Baltimore, I just Pastor Dan was saying how that when an army is tested, it isn't so much if it's like losing the battle; it's when it regroups and then presses through with God's help. And I think that the love of the brethren and the pastors, you know, all you pastors, are such great examples because you guys regroup. And you're pressing through the love of God. It's a wonderful thing to be part of.
I like that. Regroup, yeah. Regroup. Somebody else? Pastor Gary, do you have anything you wanted to add?
I was thinking about love, and it's very active, and it's many times we think that love is not judging. It goes way beyond that. Love gives. And think of a worldly Christian deriving substance from God to give. That guy is on this planet. Wait, he's in it. That guy's in the planet. Right? He is like here. You could say he's reigning.
He's deriving substance to actually, you know, he's getting presents. You know, he's becoming the Santa Claus to give. He is loving. And so it's love is not neutral. It's an extreme, it's an extreme activity, you know, like we have extreme sports, but love is an extreme activity where you're receiving something from God and it's uniquely packaged for people and it's sacrificial. Love sacrifices, it loses its life. It doesn't think of itself. And, you know, mental ascent is not the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is the work, it's not mental, some activity here. It's the work of God inside of a man where he loses his life. It's never mental. It's not a mind game. The cross is not a mind game. It is the, it's the descent of a rhema in someone's life and they realize they are dead. And, but they have been raised again and they live. And I love that with Jonah. Just that this, you know, like, hey, Jonah, I'm going to show you. You know, I made that gourd, you know, and I caused everything to happen there. I gave you your happinesses, and this is the way it works. It's not going to work your way. You know, I love that. I love that, how God gets our attention. We think we're in control, and we can complain, and, you know, our justice is right. And, you know, by the way, God, you know, like, you're wrong, and I should have a little leeway and say what's going on here. God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'll show you a better way. You know, don't you love when our heart condemns us? And God is greater. You know, like, we love those activities in our lives. Yeah, so those are some things that I was thinking that we got out of that. Love. This is Marcy. No, stand up. This is Marcy. They live in Guangzhou. She's from Brazil. Okay, she's married to Pastor Cliff. I just think it's great people get to know who people are. Stop and see these guys. If you can't find them, look for her husband.
I thought it was interesting you said about that Jonah was mad because God was saving 120,000 people. And it's so easy as a Christian sometimes you say, oh, I love this. I love the Chinese. I love these people. But this is not really God's heart, right? Because we should love everyone. But as a Christian, sometimes we have this special love for special people. But it's not a word Christian like that. Do you understand my English? Yeah, can you talk more about this?
Like, I think it can be very wonderful that God can really put the people who, where you live, on your heart. It's great. But just that we would say, like, but God doesn't love, like, those people exclusively and not love the people in the country next door. Right? That's why one of the things that Pastor Schaller is known for saying is in the ministry, like, we learn how to say hello and we learn how to say see you later too, because it's a characteristic of a world Christian, because you're saying God loves God. But wait, you mean God loves the people in that other country that we don't like them so much because they beat our team in football? Yeah, that's exactly what we mean. Like,
so I'll try to make it quick. So an army, Pastor Dan, this is Pastor Dan. An army is not evaluated as to how it goes into the battle. An army is evaluated on how they get back up after being shot at. And that's what all you pastors have done as far as regrouping that. Yeah, so
you're awesome. Yeah, that's not that good. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. Is any one of the Spanish speaking people? Oh, okay, wait.
I love what Marcy just said, and I was thinking about being a world Christian, just a little thought that helps me sometimes. I wish I did this all the time, but I have a kind of a discipline sometimes where I print out the prayer calendar, and I like to actually pray for those people that we have every day, you know? Not just know about it and say, it's so good that we have that thing, you know? And I like to actually, you know, make it a little easy. Like, for me, what works is little tiny systems. Maybe for other people, it's like, oh, systems, anathema. But for me, systems work. So I have a little thing where, you know, I actually spend time before I go to bed and pray for the team of the day. And it's just 2 minutes. But it keeps my heart warm for God's love for this whole world. And then, obviously, it also supplies the people who are there, boots on the ground. And it keeps us all connected. And I just think, you know, I don't know, that we shouldn't be so focused on our own field that we're not staying tied into what God is doing, you know, all over. And obviously also other ministries too, you know, we could be praying for the people in prison and so on. But I just think that's one little way to be a world Christian.
I was just thinking how, you know, we're just bombarded with the politics, and so we can become this type of Christian that takes sides, you know, whatever political side it is. But I was thinking, really, for Christ, it's really not even a question of side. It's just, and it's not even a question of borders or borderless or a question of walls or no walls. Because those things will, I guess, eventually determine themselves one way or the other. But what is the question is that we're just going and seeing people. Like, you know, when we were in Cuba, I just, those people's faces, you know. And all the political agendas melt away. You know, it doesn't even matter.
Pastor James just gave me the picture, one of the pictures that we took of the in the church where Pastor Edith Garces and are in the church, the Greater Grace Church of Cuba. So it's just, I was thinking about them too. And yeah, like, that's, by the way, conferences. I remember a couple of years ago, Pastor Kende said to me, like, who would have ever, like, dreamed that having conventions and conferences would be, like, such a amazing thing? Like, what a strategy! How did we, like, it was the Holy Spirit, right, that did it and gave it. Because, you know, Pastor Lajos and Michelle Karakish, in Lima, Peru, they sometimes when they can come, they couldn't come this year. They just adopted a little boy, a little Peruvian boy. Praise God, huh? Thank God for that. That family now has this little child. But so when they would come to conventions and they would say to the people, because they work in a Christian school, and they would say, "Oh, we're going to convention," and the people in the school and the other missionaries would go, "Oh, you have to go to a convention. We'll pray for you." Like, "Oh, you poor people, you have, how long do you have to be there?" "A week." "A week, you have to be there. A week. How will you survive?" Because they don't have any idea. They don't have they have nothing like this. And wow, it's like, what an amazing thing. we really are pointed towards that from in this ministry. We've been pointed towards being world, you know, American that goes to Brazil and marries a Brazilian, and now they're living in China. An Ecuadorian girl marries a Hungarian, and now they live in Peru. Like, how does that happen? World Christians. Yeah. Yes, Pastor Ken.
Yeah, so the just love that thought that you said, that I think it was you who said that God had a specific purpose in sending actually Jonah to Nineveh, because there was so much like trouble between them, and it was like a specific thing that he did, and I just love that thought, because I think that one of the things that separates us from being like world Christians, having a vision for the whole world, is really that, you know, in my heart, there is that guy who says, thank God I'm not like Pastor Stan. Thank God I'm not like Pastor Gary. You know, thank God I'm not like, you could go around them. And that's, you know, like that publican from Luke, sorry, the Pharisee from Luke 18, you know, like saying that about these publicans. And that's so wrong, because really that's what God was showing Jonah, that the Ninevites, you know, they are a disgusting group of people. You know, they are people not deserving any mercy and any grace, right? I mean, they are just nasty, nasty, nasty people historically, and what they have done to your people, and they deserve the hell that they are going to. But Jonah, in fact, you are just as disgusting as they are, really. I mean, you love the gourd. You love the gourd more than, you know, you give more mercy to a stinking plant. And so, like, you know, like this is like, you know, like James 3:2 says that we all fail in many, how does it say? We all fall in many ways, right? Yeah. I always say that, like, that's our one true creativity, I think, as human beings. Like, we fail in various ways and numerous ways. Like, we're very good at, like, that's really the, but really, like, God was saying to Jonah that look, you know, like they are very different from you, and you are like very different from them, but really you're like just like each other, really. Like, we could say it this way, like that there are two kinds of people. The people who tie knots onto the decoration plants in the chapel, and that's evil. And then there are the people who judge them for it, okay? And really, it's the same story, right? It's really the same story. Like, we're all the same that way. And I think this is so important for us, because when we look at, I love that, it's just a comment to that great thought, that when we look at the world, it's so easy to see people so different. And yeah, right. In a way, you could say we are differently wrong, right? That's what we could say. But really, we are all wrong in so many ways. And in that group, we are the same. And this is really the message. Like, if the Lord can love me, then of course He can love them. And vice versa. Like, in that great story, like, if the Lord can love the Ninevites, then He loves me the same. And that's, like, so great. And this is why it's so important to go with the gospel. Because as we minister to people, God is also telling us, I love you just as much. I care for you just as much. You're just as important to me. And that's like, you know, our world can be really tiny. Thank God I'm not like him. You know, that's a very, very tiny world. I have my little circle, just like Lisa said a minute ago, you know, like my political world or something. And that circle I'm feeling very comfortable with, and that's great. But this is the world where God leads us, and He says, you're just like them, just as bad as them, and I love them, and I love you, and this is like the ministry that we have. Yeah. Amen.
So listen. So last word for this. So this week, just receive the love of God, right? Just receive the love of God with when you talk to people, expect to be loved, expect grace, expect love, and receive it, and then express it to people around you. And that's, and you will be a more of a world Christian every day. Amen.